Good morning.
Good morning.
Hope everybody is doing well today. The sun is shining. It's a great day to be in the house of the Lord's with the house of the Lord with the Lord's people. There we go. We'll get that right. Look around somebody, give them a smile and a wave that says, not only I'm glad you're here, but I'm glad to be here as well. If you're part of our online audience, be sure to say hello to Dr. Kizito. That's K-I-Z-I-T-O. Or you could just put Doc. That'll work out well. Even with our online audience, greet one another. It's good to be able to fellowship one with another as we take this opportunity to be able to come together, to gather around the Lord's Word and allow Him to speak to our hearts today. I love what the Word tells us. It says we've come together to worship in spirit and in truth. And that's exactly what we want to do today. Let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer as we begin. Father, as we come to You now, we're grateful and thankful for the opportunity that You give us to come into Your house, to come together with like-minded believers. Father, to encourage and uplift one another. Lord, to have the opportunity to be able to hear from You and Your Word and to be able to participate in worship. Lord, I pray that today as we gather that we will not only be spectators, but we will be participators in worship today. Father, as we lift our voices in song, may they truly be a prayer from our heart, Lord, straight into Your ears. Lord, I pray that as we gather around Your Word, that as You speak to us, we will truly give ear to hear what the Spirit would tell each and every one of us today. Because, Father, we know that Your Word promises where two or three are gathered together, there You are in the midst. So we know You have a message for each and every one of us today. And Lord, I pray that we will be sensitive to the movement of the Holy Spirit. And Lord, I also pray that we would do nothing to hinder the movement of the Holy Spirit. May our hearts, may our minds be here with You today. For Lord, we know there's a lot of things that are taking place. We have busy schedules in this day and age. But Father, today, for these few moments, help us to concentrate on You that we might truly hear from You this day, and we know we will not be disappointed. So bless our time, bless all that we do. May it honor and glorify You, for we pray this in Christ's name. Amen.
Good morning. I'd like to thank Millie for filling in this week at the organ. David and Donna are on vacation, so we'll be praying for them. I'd also like to thank Amari again for filling in. Please be praying for Vicky as she's still fighting to get healthy again. So pray your blessing on her. Please join me as we sing 413. Please stand as we sing Faith is the Victory.
Encamped along the hills of life, let earthen soldiers rise and praise the battle that shall veil the glowing skies. Against the foe in mails below, the ruler's strength be heard. Faith is the victory we know that overcomes the world. Faith is the victory.
Thank you.
Man, that's refreshing, isn't it? God's love has lifted us out of the muck and mire to have that opportunity to commune with Him and to provide for us salvation. If you have your Bible, go ahead and turn with me this morning, if you would, to the book of Revelation chapter 22. Revelation chapter 22. And when we look at the Bible, and we particularly look at the Old Testament, there was an Old Testament character by the name of Daniel, and Daniel was told when he was given these certain that he was to seal the book. Now, this is actually coming out of Daniel chapter 12, verse 4. Now, I don't want you to turn there. I want you to stay in Revelation 22, because I'm going a little bit of a different direction. I'm just giving you a little bit of background right now. So Daniel is told with the things that had been revealed to him, he is told to seal that book up. He had been given insights about future empires, and essentially what it was he knew the outline of the ages as the Lord had given to him, but certain details were hidden from him. He didn't know each and every aspect of it. Much like you and I, we're seekers today. We don't know each and every aspect. There are mysteries of the Word of God that have been revealed to us as we grow in God's grace, hadn't there? How many times have you been reading something, and you may have read it in the Bible 1,000 times? We use that term. I've read that 1,000 times. And then all of a sudden, there's this piece of insight that dawns on you after years and years of reading that, and you're like, aha! You know, the light bulb came on. It's an aha moment. The Lord knows exactly when to give us what we need along the way. Now, we've got to be doing some things too. We got to be trying in class, as the old boy says. You ever been in a class where somebody just didn't try? Maybe you were that person. Yeah, you were just like, oh, come on, you're so smart. Just apply yourself. Okay, this is to the students of God's Word. You got this. Apply yourself. Work hard that you might know the mysteries of the Word of God. So this is back in the days of Daniel. But see, the Word wouldn't be ready to be understood with all of its details until the time of the end. Now, if we fast forward and we get over into the book of Revelation, now we see a different character. John, who was exiled to the Isle of Patmos, called up in and seen and heard unspeakable things, and that's where we get what we have in the book of Revelation. John was told something different than Daniel. John was told to unseal the book. Did you ever catch that? Now, if you didn't, and you want to go back and study it, just jot these down, you know, on your bulletin, the margin of your Bible, something. Just put Daniel chapter 12, verse 4, and then put these verses that we're looking at in Revelation. Revelation chapter 22. Daniel is told in the Old Testament, seal it up. John is told, unseal the books. Now, details not known to the prophets would all of a sudden become clear through him. Now, we live in a time of exciting prophetic fulfillment. If you ever did a study and sat down and looked at prophecies that were foretold and prophecies that have been fulfilled and what is to be fulfilled, it would surprise you where we are. Has anybody ever done that before? You've sat back and you've looked and you're like, okay, here are all the things that the Lord says are going to happen, you know, just prior to His calling us out or His return, however you want to call it. And if you had check boxes, you'd go through it, you would find that all those boxes are checked. Everything is pretty much ready. All the things that have been foretold could take place in a moment's notice, just like that. So I'm not here today necessarily to contrast John versus Daniel and what they told us, but here's the biggest thing I want you to understand. This is the key to it all. How many of you all are simple people? You're like me. I keep it simple. Don't make this complicated. Well, I'm getting ready to make something very, very simple and very, very clear to you this day. And you know what that is? Someday, Jesus is coming back, and it's soon. Have you got that part of it? Here's the other thing I want you to understand today. there's going to be coming a time where receiving him will be too late. We're on a schedule. Where are my schedule people out there? Hallelujah. I love you. I'm not one of you, but I need you. I'm not one of you. You have a schedule for things. You have times that you put down and you check those boxes off. You have those degrees of where you feel like you have to reach for a day's period of time or a week's period of time. Some of you got, you all have this whole prospectus of your life planned out for the whole year. Hallelujah. I love you. I just want you to know that. I am not you, and I drive people like you crazy. But I love you. We need you. Now, when we look at this, here's what we need to understand. We tend to get in a rut. You know what a rut is? Is that a country word? A rut. We know what a rut is. Well, let me define rut for you. A rut is a grave that's opened up on both ends. That's what it is. That's what a rut is. We just get to where we go on autopilot on so many things. Did you go on autopilot today because today was Sunday? Are you here today because that's just where you usually are on Sunday? Did you come into the Lord's house today with anticipation that you would meet and hear from the Father today? And oh, by the way, did you talk to him this past week? Did you get into the Word? Christianity is not a Sunday thing. It's a 24-hour a day, 7-day a week person that you and I are supposed to be. And it shouldn't be where we go, oh, I got to do my Bible reading today. No, we should be excited to get in there. It's a love letter, God's love letter. And I've said this before. How many of y'all ever got a love letter back when you was in school? None of y'all? God, I feel sorry for y'all. Nobody loved you. Now, some people are starting to participate here a little bit. Yeah, you got a love letter. What did you do with that love letter? Did you just say, oh, well, I'll just catch up to that later on? I'll just put it over here. Did you come across it maybe a couple weeks later and then decide, oh, maybe I should read this? No. I know what you did. You probably went and had, I grew up in a different place, in a different day, in a different age. We had a cloak room. Remember that? Yeah, maybe I grew up with a coat room or a cloak room, whichever one you wanted to call it. So you'd, all of a sudden, it was like, man, as quick as you could get there, you found you a nice little private place to open up and read that love letter. Remember that? Mm-hmm. Wasn't that great? Yeah, because you wanted to know what was going on. Listen, God has given us a love letter, a good love letter, one that we should be anxious and excited to read about, to cultivate the relationships. You see, folks, Christianity is not about a thing you do. It's about a person that you know. It's about a relationship that is cultivated with Christ. Amen. It's not about just coming in here and sitting here listening to the preacher. It's not about just singing the hymns. It's not about what everybody else thinks about you. It is about a personal one-on-one relationship with a holy God through Jesus Christ, his Son, who gave his life and picked it back up that you and I might have eternal life. This is a life or death situation. And here's what I want you to get. This is what we're going to be looking at in the scriptures today. And this is the bottom line. Someday it will be too late. That's the title of the message today. Too late. I don't know about you, but have you ever been too late for something? Too late for the bus as you watch it drive off? Too late for something that was critical? Yeah, and you found yourself left behind? Back many years ago, Jenna and I had a chance to take a cruise, and I kept thinking that one of the things that was really funny was that was just completely foreign to me, but one of the things that they stressed was, when you come into these port of calls, feel free to take these excursions. We want you to go look and see and do these different things. But here's something I'm going to tell you. This ship is going to sail at this particular time on this particular day. Are you ready for this? Here's the part. With or without you? If you're not here, all you're going to hear is, Mom, as she pulls away from the dock. And you can jump up and down all you want. You can wave your arms all you want. You can say it's not my fault all you want to. But let me make you a promise. She's pulling away from the dock, and she's not going to wait on you. Now, how do I know that? Because that was one of my favorite things to do on the ship. I made sure I got back. And then I would go sit on the balcony and watch those who didn't. It was a hilarious sight. You'd see them running down the dock and everything else, jumping up and down and waving their arms. Wait. Listen, it didn't matter if that ship was 1 foot away from the dock, 10 feet away from the dock. She was sailing because you know what? You had time. You were warned. You knew what time the ship was going to sail, and you knew it was going to sail with you or without you. Why is it so hard for us to get that through our heads? Let me tell you something, folks. The Lord's return is going to happen, and it is going to happen soon. Everything is set. And it's going to happen whether you go with Him or not. You're not going to stop it. It is time for people, God's people especially, to get serious about your relationship and about your walk with the Lord. What would happen if it was in the next few moments? What would happen if in the middle of this service you heard the trumpet sound? Literally, I thought about getting Jeff to kind of, you know, blow the trumpet from in the choir up there just so people would be going. Just to make it real for folks, this is real, and it needs to become real in our hearts, in our lives, and in our time. We need to be living it. But what if it happened? You know what? Your job's not going to matter anymore. Your debt's not going to matter anymore. Your friendships aren't going to matter anymore. And you know what many people would be saying? Well, I thought I had more time. I thought I had more time. Yeah, but what happens is when the trumpet sounds and the dead in Christ rise first and the rest of us are called up together to meet Him in the air, it's too late. It's too late. It is time to make your decision today. It is time to be ready today. And there's some insight that we are given out of Revelation chapter 22. Look with me if you would, Revelation chapter 22, beginning with verse 10. It says, "And he said to me, do not seal the words of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. He who is unjust, let him be unjust still. He who is filthy, let him be filthy still. He who is righteous, let him be righteous still. He who is holy, let him be holy still." Verse 12, "And behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me to give to everyone according to his work. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last." Let's pray together. Father, we pray that you will bless your word indeed in our midst. For Lord, your word is breathed into us by the Holy Spirit. Father, we're simply your children. We're instruments in your hand. And I pray that today, Father, as you are lifted up, that you truly will draw all men unto you. I pray, Father, that we will understand the urgency of the time. I pray, Father, that we will understand that we need a relationship with you, not just checking off a bunch of boxes. So, Father, today, speak to our hearts as only you can. Use this, your servant, that you might truly be lifted up during this time. As, Lord, we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. And you know what's really interesting is, you know, the bottom line of particularly verse 11 is some pretty stern words. They don't really look like it, but you know, the word that is coming to us, go down and look at verse 11. It says, "He who is unjust, let him be unjust still. He who is filthy, let him be filthy still. He who is righteous, let him be righteous still. He who is holy, let him be holy still." You know what he's saying? At that particular point, at that particular moment, if you're going to be unjust, go on, be unjust. There's a price that you're going to pay for it. You want to be filthy? Go on and be filthy. They're going to keep on doing that. He also says, now if you're righteous, may you continue to be righteous. But he's saying this, there is a time coming and it is at hand, and you will answer for the decision that you've made either for or against Christ. You know what I've heard for so many years? Well, I haven't decided against Christ. And you know what I said? Yes, you have. Because if you haven't decided for him, you've decided against him. He tells you that. He said, you're either for me or against me. You can't ride the fence on this one. The question is it going to be too late for you? Is it going to be too late for salvation? Yeah, so many times people sit back and say, well, what is the criteria to, you know, need Christ? I said, you're breathing. That's the criteria for needing Christ, because we were all born into the sin nature of Adam. There's not a just man on this earth. There is not a righteous man on this earth. And the word tells us that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So if you are here and you are listening to my voice, then here's what you need. You need Jesus for salvation, plain and simple. If you don't have him, you're on your way to hell, and you could slip into hell in the next few seconds. How many times in our lives have we experienced the fact that somebody we talked to one day or one evening, the next day, they were gone? How many of y'all have ever done that? It shocks you. You're like, well, I was just talking to them yesterday. They seemed fine to me. And then taken off of this planet by a massive heart attack or something to that nature. And you thought they had more time. They may have thought they had more time. Well, here's the way you circumvent that situation. You need to be ready now, because you never know how much time you've got. I don't care how old you are. I don't care what age you are. You need to be ready. Death is no friend to age. Death knows no age. Young or old, are you ready to meet him? You know, when you draw your last breath, at that point, it's too late. How many times have people said to me, well, preacher, I get it, but you know what? I don't want to be a hypocrite. You know, and I'm just not ready to be what a Christian needs to be. I'm like, what, saved? You know, everybody thinks it's about all the book of don't do's. No, I mean, yeah, there's some things that the Lord doesn't want you to do because they're not right, they're not honorable, they're not pleasing to him. But that's not a criteria for salvation. Did you understand me that? That's not a criteria. The criteria is that the lost sinner come into the presence with confession before the Father and accepting Jesus Christ. Let me give a word of caution to believers. It's not your job to clean up somebody else's life. Matthew chapter 7 talks about the fact that if we would spend our time cleaning up our own backyard, we won't have time to try to clean up somebody else's. And trust me when I tell you, your own backyard needs tended to. Every one of us does. It's not up to you to determine somebody else's spirituality. That doesn't mean that you can't help them, but you don't do it in a judgmental way. How many times have people come up to me and said, well, you know, I would like to, you know, I would like to be a Christian, but, you know, people look down on me, you know, in that church because of the way I dress or the way I look or something, you know, something to that nature. If that's you, I hope God makes them your neighbor for all eternity in heaven. So you'll have to look at them every single moment of your life. Because that's just wrong. It's wrong. That's not what, listen, God said, if you're living and breathing, I have a plan, I have a purpose for you, and I love you, and my son died on a cross that you might have eternal life. And you know what our job? Our job is to increase the family. Let's go get them. Let's go out and tell people about the love of Jesus. Let's go out and share with them. And what do? We're too busy sitting on the premises instead of standing on the promises. Well, that's the preacher's job. No, it's not. My job is to train you all to do that. I'm the coach. I can't, the coach can't play in the game. I play on my own league. I'm playing in the game. Are you? Or are you too busy saying, oh yes, I'm just going to enjoy all of the spoils of heaven without doing a single thing? God has expectations of us. The cry today is, come to Him before it's too late. Before, you ever heard that expression, that ship has sailed? You ever heard the expression, missed the boat? That's where it comes from. Those people running down the dock going, wait, wait. Nope, you missed the boat. Folks, when the trumpet sounds, don't miss the boat. It's too late then. You're not going to be able to stand in line and say, well, Roy was the preacher and I heard him and he didn't tell me. I'm going to be sitting there going, look, see, my hands are clean. I told you every week about the love of Jesus, you stubborn donkey. I can't make the decision for you. But now I'm here and you're there. And there's not a single thing that you nor I can do about it. Because remember what the Lord said when he was talking to in the New Testament between the rich man and Lazarus? He said, there's going to be a great gulf fixed between you and me, and I can't get to you and you can't get to me. Choose now and choose wisely. Because let me make you this promise. Eternity is far longer than this vapor of a life that you and I have going on right here. There's going to become a time when it's going to be too late for salvation. He said, let the unjust, let him keep on being unjust. He'll pay the penalty for it. He that is filthy, let him still be filthy. Even our good works are as filthy rags in the presence of God. Of the Father. How tragic to be an unjust and filthy person forever and ever and ever. But a day is coming when it's going to be too late to be saved. But you know, there's also a day coming when it's going to be too late for Satan. He that is righteous, let him be righteous still. See, we're made righteous through our faith in Christ Jesus. We're made righteous because of what Christ did for us, not because we're worthy, not because we deserve it. How many times do people say, well, I'm just not worthy? Well, yeah, you're right about that, but none of us are. Don't let Satan twist the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ, and the love of God Almighty to use it against you. Well, I don't deserve him. You're right, you don't. But because of his grace, he chose you. He chose you. Wow. You ever been chosen in that manner? And somebody said, I pick you. I pick you. I choose you. Y'all remember the days? I don't know. I don't even know if they happen anymore. Days on the playground. See, kids play different than we did. You know, we'd choose up sides and play some kickball or dodgeball or something like that. And there were certain people that always hated it when, like, everybody get over there. You're a captain and you're a captain. Everybody start picking teams. Anybody in here, was y'all ever the last one picked? And if a dog walked by, they'd pick the dog before you? That just was not a good feeling, was it? It wasn't. Was there ever that time when you got picked and you got picked early and you were like, wow, did that not perk you up? Didn't that make you feel wanted and needed? Well, let me tell you something. Today, God is picking you. He's saying, I choose you. I want you on my team. I want you in my family because of what Christ has done. Yeah, Satan tempts us. He tries to keep us from living a holy life. That's even after you've trusted him. He didn't want you. You know, when Christ comes, all temptation's going to be over. There won't be any more temptation. We will forever be beyond the reach of the enemy. There's not a thing in this world that he will be able to do to oppress us in any way, shape, form, or fashion. We will be with the Lord forever, never, ever again to be attacked by Satan. Doesn't that sound good? Never again will he have the opportunity to attack us. Satan will finally be in the lake of fire forever and ever and ever. By the way, if you want a reference on that, check out Revelation 20, verse 10. and you'll see it. He's going to be separated forever. But let me tell you what else it is. Remember when I said it's too late is the title of the message. But there's coming a day and a time when it'll also be too late for service. Look at what verse 12 says. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give to everyone according to his works. Behold, I come quickly. There's going to come a time when there's no more time to reach loved ones and neighbors for Christ. There's going to come a time when there won't need to be any more salvation messages from the pulpit of the church. There's going to come a time when you will no longer be able to be a witness to your friends and your family. Now, I've said this before, and maybe I'm a little bit different, but if you really love your family and you have lost members in your family, then you need to be about the Lord's business in reaching them with the gospel of Christ. And I cannot tell you how much you just don't know Uncle Harry. Well, you know what? I don't, but I do know this. One day Uncle Harry's going to stand before Jesus, and one day Uncle Harry is going to look at you, and if he's lost, he's going to say, you're over there and I'm over here. Why didn't you tell me? And what are you going to do? Go, well, you were just a grumpy old man. You just, listen, if they won't listen to you, they're not rejecting you. They're rejecting the Lord. People have said to me, and I've shared this before, they said, well, do you expect results every time you preach? I said, absolutely. They said, well, that's kind of arrogant, isn't it? I said, no. I said, I just simply know this, that the Lord's word does not return void. What you do with it is up to you. Do I expect God to speak to each and every one of you today while we're here? Absolutely. The question is, are you going to hear him? Or have you gotten the Christian cancel culture that when the Holy Spirit comes to you, you go, la, 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 I'm not listening. Or have you just gotten so far in a foreign land, enjoying the hog pen, that you're just not listening for the Holy Spirit? He's there. Have you hardened your heart too hard? Can you think about loved ones spending eternity in hell? Does that bother you? Does that burden our hearts? You know what seems to be missing today as opposed to four decades ago? Probably less. We don't have a burden anymore. It's like God's people don't seem to care anymore. It's like we've shifted responsibility. Well, I'm a believer. I'm in. I don't need to tell anybody else. That's a preacher's job. That's why we have activities at the church. That's why we have Sunday school, stuff like that. Folks, let me tell you something. Last time I checked, my Bible says we are to go into the world because the days of opening up the doors of the church and people coming in are gone. It's not going to happen. Oh, it rarely happens. The mission field's out there. It's not in here. And you know what people say? People say, why would I want to come in there? Y'all can't even get along with each other. Ow, that stings, doesn't it? But if the shoe fits, we must wear it. Do we care whether people go to hell anymore or not? I wonder. Should this jolt us to a point of action? It should. And yet, God has given us during this age of grace a tremendous opportunity to serve, and yet we won't do it. Am I talking to that? You know, I am. I was so tickled today to see proof of that. You know, like I said, Vicky has been sick, and yet Mari stood in so wonderfully and did a phenomenal job making sure that she could use her talents that the Lord might be magnified. Donna's on vacation, and Millie says, hey, I can do this, and stepped in. These weren't our two normals up here today, were they? And yet what a gracious opportunity to use what God had given them for His honor, for His glory in His house. And y'all did a wonderful job. Thank you. Did my heart good. Sometimes the preacher has to stand up and say, shame on you. Maybe he has to today. But you know what? It was so good to be able to say, well done. Well done. Good job. But where are you? Oh, this is personal. Preacher, getting personal today. Where are you? Don't let Satan say you're nobody, that you're no talent. No. God's got you. He brought you here for a reason. And I am convinced that with what's in this room, we can change the whole town and the whole state and the whole country and the whole world. Oh, you're just dreaming, preacher. No, I'm not. Because of 12 faithful men, you and I are here today, right? What could God do with His children truly sold out, truly loving each other, bearing with one another? Yeah, somebody said, well, what does that mean in everyday terms, this biblical bearing with one another? I said, that's putting up with each other's junk even when you don't like it. We're not all the same, are we? We're all weird in our own ways. You know, we look at somebody and say, I don't know about him or her. You know what? They're probably looking at you saying, I don't know about them either. But God's called us all to uniqueness. And every one of us, He's given a gift and a talent and an ability. And you should have the heart of the master to say, you know what? I don't want anybody to suffer in hell. Do you realize that God has put the people in your sphere of influence for a reason? They need to hear your story. Does that mean it's going to be easy? No. It's going to be difficult. But you know what the real deal is? How we live our life determines how well people are going to listen to us as well. If they see us living for Jesus, then they know that it means something to us, and they're more than ready to listen to our words because our words are backed up by our deeds. But if they don't see us living it, then they say, look at that bunch of hypocrites. Do we love people like we should love people? Are we dealing with each other as we should? I like the fact that there are differences. I think we need to celebrate. Remember what I said a little while ago? I said, we got some list makers in here. Sometimes you drive me crazy. But I couldn't do it without you. And see, you list makers need some free spirits like me in your life to get you to loosen up a little bit. Enjoy life. Have a little fun. We need each other. If I sang a solo, you would understand why it's better for me to preach and not sing. But we've got people who are good at that. I mean, you heard April? That was angelic, wasn't it? Man, that moved my heart. If I sang, the only thing that's going to move is your stomach. It's going to turn over. But I'm okay with that. You know why? Because God didn't call everybody to preach. But that's what He called me to do. So it's about teaming up with the people like April and the Millies and the Davids and the Donnas and the Brads. Because together we can make beautiful music. Together we can be what we need to be. Together we can love one another. And when we do that properly, people want to be a part of a group like that. You realize that's the reason why cults are so effective? Cults are so effective because they love people like they should love people. They love them for the wrong reason. They can talk them into doing almost anything. But the reason why is because people are accepted for who they are in a cult. And they have thousands upon thousands that follow. So what would happen If we accepted people as they are, you know what? I call it one of the Baptist national anthems is what we sing for an invitation hymn, just as I am. You don't have to fix nothing. You don't have to change nothing. You don't have to do anything to come to Jesus except take the first step towards him. He will take care of the rest of us. And some of us self-righteous, holier-than-thou church members, it's not our job to whip them into shape. It's the Holy Spirit's job. It's our job to love them. To love them in all of their weirdness. To me, that's kind of fun. That takes people aback. It really does. And when you get that chance to talk to somebody, to hear their story, to find out what's going on in their life. I like going to the people everybody else wants to run away from. Especially when they sit back and say, hey, what do you do? I'm a preacher. They're like, you're a preacher and you're over here talking with us? Yeah, you seem like a down-to-earth crew. I said, the stiff shirts over there don't look like the fun that you guys are over here. Tell me your story. Tell me your background. Tell me a little bit about you. You know what? They will tell you. Sometimes it's tragic. Sometimes your heart just breaks for them. Because you know what they want to know next? Tell me your story. I'm like, hey, I'm glad you asked. Let me tell you my story. Because my story is the story of Jesus. And I get to tell them. And you know what the really bizarre part is? They listen. You know why? Because I took the time to listen to them. I took the time to not judge them. I took the time to realize that Jesus went to Calvary's cross for them just like he did for me. They're different than me, but that's okay. That's perfectly fine. Because God is the God of all. There's coming a time when it will be too late. A time when you can no longer earn rewards for serving Christ. The time's going to run out to reach loved ones and neighbors and friends. Because the Lord says, behold, I come quickly and my reward is with me. If we had to face him today, and you might, what would he say to you? Would he look at you and just go, Or would he be able to truly say, well done, good and faithful servant. Great is your reward. Someday I want to be able to meet the people that are in heaven because the Lord used me to influence their life. Wouldn't that be cool? I can't wait to see some little Cuban kid who comes up and says, hey, I just want you to know I'm here because of what your teams did in Cuba over there. And when you were preaching one day years ago, my daddy accepted Jesus and it changed his life. And he began to tell our family. And because of that, I came to know Jesus and I'm here because of that. Won't that be cool? How many people do you think Billy Graham's life influenced? He's going to have a real long sea of people there going, hey, I'm here because you were faithful. But think about it the other way. How many people are not going to be there because you were not faithful to serve him? Ouch. There's coming a time when it's going to be too late. Too late for salvation. Too late for service. Too late for Satan. And there's a sense of urgency because that could be any moment now. So because of that, we need to get ready. If the Lord's convicted your heart today and said, man, you're messing this all up. Okay, good. He's got your attention. Work with him today to be all he wants you to be. Maybe you're in the sound of my voice today. You've never accepted Christ. You have accepted a form of religion. It is amazing what people think Christianity is in our society today. They think it's about like attending church and being a good person. I always love to ask that question because everybody's got an opinion and they like to share it in this day and age, don't they? And I'll say, in your personal opinion, what do you understand that it takes for a person to go to heaven? And you know what? 9 times out of 10 I hear, well, be a good person. Care for one another. I'm like, that's what you should do, but that's not what gets you to heaven. Only Jesus can get you to heaven. So I'm convinced that there's a lot of people in this world today, even who sit in church pews, who think they're going to heaven, that are lost as lost can be, because they have no idea what salvation and a relationship with Christ is really all about. Remember that passage, not all who say, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven, but those who do the will of the Father, and Jesus in you changes you. It's not just something you do, it's somebody you know. It could be too late. Basically, what I'm trying to tell you is the ship is getting ready to leave the harbor. She's going to pull out at any minute now. Get on the boat. Don't be the ones left running to try to get on and not make it. How many that laughed at Noah, you know, floated around knocking on the door of the ark wanting to be let in? Are you ready? Have you trusted Jesus? Have you given him your life? Have you given him your heart? Have you confessed your sin before him and said, Lord, I am no longer mine, but I am yours? All right, if you have, you know, some of you, Jesus is saying, well, then start acting like it. Start acting like a child of the King. The time's coming. Get busy. Get moving. How many of y'all have ever been involved in a project that never could seem to get off the ground? Was that frustrating? You had 10,000 different meetings about how to get it done and never got a single thing done. I don't like being on teams like that. I would rather go forward and fail. How about you? What does the Lord put on your heart today? If we were serving the Lord as we should and being faithful as we should, then lives are going to be touched. Will you be made fun of? Yes. Will you be laughed at? Yes. Will people think you're crazy? Yeah. But you know what? I'd a whole lot rather please God than please man. Because someday them same people that are laughing at you can't look at you and say, well, why didn't you tell me? Remember what Pilate did? It was really interesting what Pilate did when Jesus was sentenced. Pilate made an effort to go get a basin of water and he washed his hands before the people. Remember what he said? He said, this innocent man's blood will not be on my hands. How much innocent blood will be on your hands because you haven't done what the Lord has led you to do? Is it getting real now? It is life or death. It's eternity that's at stake. And yet, Satan wants to trip us up by having us argue about things that don't amount to a hill of beans, doesn't he? But if he can keep us busy arguing, then he's keeping us from being what God wants us to be. Never once on a mission field have I ever asked the person I was working with whether they were conservative. How about let's love each other and get busy because the time is coming and it's soon going to be too late. Have you trusted Jesus? If you haven't given your life to him, then just right where you are, simply ask him into your heart. It's a prayer. Lord, forgive my sins. Save my soul. In Jesus' name, amen. And if you, listen, if you do that and really, really mean it, then your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. He has saved. You're one of his children, but he has expectations of you now. He's like, I've gifted you. I want to use you for my kingdom. What's it going to be? And some of us have been spoiled brat kids. Y'all know what those are, don't you? We've been spoiled brat kingdom children. Lazy. Kind of turns you off when you see people like that, doesn't it? You sit back and go, I'll tell you one thing, I wouldn't treat my parents that way. Do you treat the father that way? That's the laziest two kids I know. Is that you for the kingdom? They are the most privileged people in the world. Is that you? It seems God's children all want to sit around his table, but no one wants to work in his field. Ouch. Maybe you need to get up out of the hog pen and come home today and realize the time is ticking. I thought about my grandma who's with the Lord. When I got ready to start this message, I felt like taking. She had an egg timer that I played with as a kid. Y'all, how many of y'all had those? A little sand egg timer? As we come to this time of invitation, again, this is God's invitation to you. What is he asking you to do? What has he placed in your heart? What has he said to you personally today? Do you need to trust him? He said, I'm going to be up here. Please let us know. We want to celebrate with you. If you're part of our online audience and you trusted Christ today, please let us know. We want to celebrate with you. And we're not going to, you know, parade you around or anything. We just want to, we're glad. Maybe you're here today. You haven't been obedient to following believers' baptism. That's not salvation, but it's an act of obedience following salvation. Maybe you need to get that done. Well, get it done. What are you waiting on? Time's running out. Maybe you're here today and you just needed a good old size 10 on the backside. My prayer is that you will do that right now. Don't let this time go away. Don't let Satan distract you from what God is calling you to do. If you need me, I am here. This altar is always here. You are free to use it because that's what God created it for. But what business do you have with him today? You do it now as we stand together and as we sing our invitation hymn.
Number 282, Living for Jesus.
As our musicians continue to play, I simply ask you, are you doing exactly that? Are you living for Jesus? Is your heart truly his throne? Please, please deal with what God has put in your heart today. Something maybe that needs corrected, maybe some things that you need to work to get changed for his honor, for his glory. Will you do that? This is where the rubber meets the road. This is real. Because in these next few seconds, you could stand in the face of your Maker. Will you be ready to hear the words, well done, good and faithful servant? Or will you stand there with your head hung low? Deal with the Master. I'm also going to ask our ushers if they would to make their way down to the front as we prepare to receive the Lord's tithe and our offering to him. Father, as we come to you again, we're so grateful, Lord, to realize that all good things come from you. Each and everything in our life you have blessed us with. You have provided us, Father, with food and shelter and, Lord, not only the necessities, but just many of the privileges that you have provided for us for being, you know, living in free America. God, you're so good. Help us to never take that for granted. Lord, as we come to this time to return to you, that little bit that you just ask us to be faithful to return to you, that we might be found faithful in doing so, that your work would go forward, that your word would go out, and Father, we would see many souls come to know you because of the faithfulness of Central Baptist Church to be good stewards of what comes in. So bless the church, bless the gift, bless the giver. And Lord, this is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Today. Tonight there will not be adult Bible study here in the sanctuary. The reason for that is David and Donna are away on a well-deserved respite, so we want to pray for them while they're not with us. And I actually have youth in Awana tonight, which, by the way, Awana starts tonight at 5:30 at its normal time as well. Coming up on October the 16th, we will have our let's see, what is this? Today is the 9th. Okay, let me back up. The monthly building and grounds meeting will be October the 16th at 3:30 in room 202. So I think that's next week or so. Anyway, building grounds meeting. Monthly business meeting is October the 16th following our Bible study. Remember, this is to vote on the change of business meeting from monthly to quarterly. This was a motion that was brought up and gone over by the board, and so the board is going to be bringing a motion about changing the business meetings from monthly to quarterly. That will happen in the October business meeting coming up on the 16th. We will have trunk or treat October the 30th from 6 to 8. If we can borrow your trunks, we'll definitely do that. It's going to be great to see the kids. This is going to be something that we're doing in conjunction with Awakened Church as well. They're going to join us, come alongside us with that particular activity, which will be a lot of fun. Don't forget, mark your calendars for our bi-monthly blood drive. Next one coming up is November the 7th from 2:30 to 6:30. If you want to be a part in helping out with that or signing up, Katie Nelson, right down here in the front. You can see Katie. She does a fantastic job organizing this thing, and she'll be happy to either take your service or your blood. Either one. She'll take all that that she can. Be sure to mark your calendars for this. This is important. Let me get your ears perked up. On November the 12th, we will be doing a memorial service for Patsy Bendigo right here at the church. So be sure to mark your calendars for that. November the 12th at 11 a.m. We will do Patsy Bendigo's memorial service right here at Central Baptist Church. Operation Christmas Child, we're in that season. There are some boxes out there. We encourage you to grab a box. I know a lot of times people say, well, I like to get the plastic ones so they can reuse them. You can do that, but it makes packing them a whole lot easier if you just take the ones that they have that are already sized for their containers. This year, once again, we will be a regional drop-off center for Operation Christmas Child. The dates that people will be dropping them by here, November the 14th through the 21st. But as a church, you'll hear more about when we're going to be collecting them, but just keep those things in your prayers. Wednesday, 10 a.m. at Olympic Restaurant over here in Colfax, there's a men's fellowship breakfast. If you can come, would love to have you join the men over there for that. We have a great time. It's just fellowship, no agenda. We just have a wonderful time just chatting with each other and horsing around. General horsing around is what the agenda is. Now, I did get some of those wonderful cupcakes because we got to enjoy David's birthday, and there was a particular young lady who made some cupcakes and sent them by her husband, Bill Gray. They were phenomenal. Yeah, everybody's chiming in on that. But see, the ladies still keep us in line, even as a men's group. Anyway, let me give you a couple of special days this week. Betty Cazito has a birthday Monday. Friday, Philip Kiever has a birthday. And then Saturday, Shirley Monroe will celebrate another trip around the sun. Anniversaries this coming Tuesday, Debbie and Jonathan Fondo will celebrate another year of marriage together. So if you send cards or text messages or just throw your arms around somebody, let them know you love them. And those are great milestones to celebrate together. So just keep those things in mind. Is the band practicing tonight? Normal time or?
7 o'clock,
normal time for band practice. So if you're in the band, come be a part of that. If you're not in the band and want to be a part of the band, come join in. Jim will put you through the ropes, and I'm sure they'd love to have you on board. So with that, is there anything else I've forgotten? All right, well, let's stand, and we'll be dismissed in a word of prayer, and we will look forward to seeing you as the Lord permits. Don't forget, no adult Bible study in the sanctuary tonight. All of our backups weren't able to handle that for Pastor David, and he is on vacation. So be sure to pray for he and Donna while they have this time away. But we will have Awana at our normal time. Same bat time, same bat channel. All right, let's pray. Father, you're good to us. Thank you so much for allowing us to be in your house today. Lord, I pray that we have been attentive to the Holy Spirit's movement in our heart and our lives. Lord, I pray that as we go away from here, we can truly do so with peace that passes all understanding. And Lord, may your love and your mercy and your grace abound in, through, and around us as we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, folks, God bless you.